forgot what I was going to say. Now comes the time that we have our speaker tonight. And our speaker's Dan Hare. And everyone loves him. He's been doing a series on Ephesians. This is like the fifth one, right?
Sixth one.
The sixth and final one, he says. And, you know, Dan has a really good way of bringing this chapter into today's world and what it means for us today. And he's done a really good job. So let's go ahead and give a big warm welcome for Dan. All right.
You know, I have to tell you that my voice is a little weak. I was, last night I went to see the Kenny Loggins concert at the Billy Up Cafe. So as I'm a little bit hoarse, I didn't realize it. I brought a friend that, there's a story behind this. Yeah, that's it. But it's a great concert, by the way. You know, you're out jumping around and singing the tunes and, you know, and then you stay up too late, and then you drink too much coffee the next day to be awake, and your voice goes. So, you know, forgive me. I should be smarter than that. We have been in this book of Ephesians, which was written by, I call him the ancient sage, the Apostle Paul. And Paul had a magnificently spectacular conversion. A light came out of heaven, and God literally said, "Saul," or "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Because he was running around ordering that Christians, they call them the people of the way, be killed, because he thought that they were a heresy, that they were being blasphemous to God. And so here's a guy that was at the highest rank. He was one of the 70 elders of the nation of Israel, and he was smart. He was educated. But he had it wrong. And so it took God to intervene in his world to shake him up and say, change the way you think. Change. See it differently. I think a lot of times we go in our lives and we look at life in a particular paradigm. You know, that we're raised in a certain way. Our tribe does that. They give us the best they can. You get a job, you're supposed to do follow all the rules. And you do it this, this, and this. And all of a sudden, things don't go right, and you're kind of swimming, looking, okay, what do I do from here? Where do I go? How do I adjust it? And it's kind of that flexibility in life. And so Paul was the, it's attributed to Paul. It was probably someone that wrote about the sayings of Paul. But the long and short, there were six chapters, and we've been going through the big ideas in each of the chapters. And I'll review them briefly, but before I do that, I want to introduce my friend. In tonight's talk, and the reason why I brought our friend is that we're going to talk about the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's the armor of God. And I'm sitting there looking in my entryway, and I'm seeing this soldier. This, what is it?
I'm sorry, I just had to think. It's not Halloween early.
Yeah, it's Halloween early.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's actually a touching story because this was a gift to me by a dear friend that died of cancer about 10 years ago. And I don't know who, if any of you remember, but it was Linda McKay. And Linda was in her mid 46, 47. Cancer got her and she went. And she asked me to be the executor of her estate. And it was really a touching story because we actually had kind of a falling out the year before. And when I heard that she had cancer, you know, I called her immediately. God, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. And I just said, how you doing? And we didn't even bring up anything because it didn't matter. So many of the things that we hold inside is, I'm mad at that person. They melt away when you put it in the context of life and death. And so I ended up taking her to Mexico for treatment, you know, and doing the whole thing. And so I was the executive of her estate. And we were in her living room one day, and she was like a frail 85, 90 pounds. And I said, look, it was this pregnant pause. I says, you know, if you're going to go, if it's your time, can I have that? She looked at me. And I said, no, I want this because I want to put it in my entryway to remind me of you. So you'll always be with me in this physical form. And so for the last 10 years, I should probably dust it down a little bit on Bachelor so I get an excuse. But I thought, isn't that just a beautiful thing? As she went to Spirit, that I got to keep this as a remembrance. And then tonight, because we're going to talk about the armor of God, I thought it would be fun to kind of see, not exactly, but the idea of what a soldier would wear back in those days when they were in a war, okay? So there's a there's a proverb. There's a proverb that says, hold on here, I got to do something really quick because I don't want this to ring. That would be really rude. Okay. There's a proverb, I think it's Proverbs 3, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So let's break it down. Guard, put behind bars, protect it. Put your armor on around your heart, which is the seat of the emotions. In many ways, in facets, I guess you would say, it causes your thinking to get askew, okay? When your emotions are up and down, you think differently. So this wise person, I don't know who wrote that particular proverb, said, guard your heart, put it in prison, put protection around it. Because out of your heart, out of your emotions, come these issues of life. And if you don't control the way that your heart acts out, and ultimately the way your heart can skew your thinking, it's not going to be good. So guard your heart. He starts off with that. And so with that in mind, as I was thinking about this final big thought from this book of Ephesians, as we conclude the series, I thought, you know, that would be a great verse to start off with, is to guard your heart. And just as a really, really quick review, in the book of Ephesians, in the first chapter, which is one of my most favorite verses, it's one of the longest verses in the Bible. In the Greek language, it just goes on and on. It's verse 3 through verse 14. And it's as though Paul was a little kid running home from kindergarten, jumping in his daddy's lap and saying, Daddy, Daddy, or his mommy's lap. And he said, I just got home and the first day of school was like this, and we did this and we did that. And man, it's so cool. And we had playground and I met new friends and I'm just really excited about life. It was this sense of enthusiasm about life. And essentially in that portion, and it's the setup. It's like in a movie, in the first 7-8 minutes of a movie, it's the setup for the entire movie. And it's like Paul setting up the entire book, the entire epistle or the letter or the outlaying of thought, that what I'm going to tell you right now is the foundation. This is what we always go back to. And he basically says this. He says that God's blessed you with everything, that he chose you before the foundation of the world to be whole, to be powerful, to be dynamic, to be a conqueror. He chose you and he gave you this power through the Holy Spirit, that he would send the Holy Spirit to indwell us, but only when we open our hearts up and we surrender. I believe so many times people get caught up in ways of thinking where they're holding on to this. I'm not going to give God this. I'm going to hide it from him. I'm going to shove it. You can't see me, God, no. You know what I'm saying? And we have all these little areas and big areas where we have shame. And the tragic thing is so often when we have shame, it's shame that was put on us that it's not even our shame, but we're holding it. Things of abuse, and you know what I'm talking about. Things that were put on us, that we've become victims in this broken world. So Paul says, look, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you from the inside, and he's going to heal you. Paul talks in the book of Romans. He says, I'm so excited about this thing called the gospel about Jesus because it's the dynamic power of God unto salvation. And we've talked about this idea of salvation before because, you know, we get into this era where, you know, it's like, be saved. And you get this feeling like I'm bad. Well, you know, it's really not so much that you're bad. It's that maybe you're broken in certain areas. I know I am. You know, you have bumps and bruises along the way. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to glue the ship that shipwrecked on the rocks into 1,000 pieces. And let's just start to glue them back together. And let's just make it like it's brand new. So Paul starts off and he says, let's get this right, you guys. He says, you're blessed. You lack nothing in this world. But all the things that you're thinking, make sure that you line them up with it. And when you get to that point, the Holy Spirit is there to empower you. Now we're going to talk about how to go to that place a little bit later. Then he says, this Holy Spirit and this experience with God is a down payment of what it will be like after we pass through this life. And when we die, or, you know, how's Millie put it? The earth plane, when we leave the earth plane. And, too much coffee, sorry. So he says, the Holy Spirit is your empowerment tool. And then he prays, God, I pray that they get it. Get an attitude. Think about this stuff. Don't neglect it. Don't listen to the noise. And then in chapter 2, he says, man, you're a workmanship. He says, you're a masterpiece, like a Leonardo da Vinci is doing a portrait of you. You're a piece of work. Well, I can put that in a lot of ways, but every one of us is a piece of work. And if you think about it, in a portrait, you have to have dark shades and light shades. You have to have things that happen to you that give you the lines, that give you the character. And you can look at those lines as being a victim and, oh, this bad thing happened to me. Well, I'm stronger because of it. I went through this thing, and now, look at me. Ain't I handsome? You know, I'm looking good. Because I've been through this thing, and I'm a conqueror. I don't lay in bed worrying about all the things that happened to me. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm, oh, woe is me, and then I get kicked in the tail end. And it's like, wake up. Be a conqueror. It's a new day. Be in the moment. What's the opportunity in front of you? How do you make opportunity? So he says, you're a total piece of work. You're a masterpiece. Chapter 3 says, God, there's this mystery, unveiling the mystery of Christ. And it's literally the idea that Jesus, the Christ, who came from heaven, lived among us, went back to heaven, died on the cross, created that pathway. And, you know, people, again, we talk about this thing of sin, and I call it being unplugged from God. And so we get unplugged from God, and he's saying, that's sin. Let's plug it back in. Let's get re-energized. Let's get back to the source of energy, okay? He says, I've come to tell you about this mystery that we really didn't understand fully in the Old Testament, but we now understand it by the death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus the Christ. And so Paul, it's a very exciting book for him, and he's laying out this framework of thinking as he writes the letter, and a courier takes it to the church at Ephesus, which is actually now in Turkey, but it was a circular letter and it went all over Asia Minor. And he says, man, this is the coolest thing since sliced bread. This is life. This is where it all comes back together. And so the first three chapters are about how what our position in Christ is. And then the last three chapters is about our practice. So now that you're exalted and that you're a conqueror and you have all of this power at our disposal, he says, love one another. Real simple, love one another. Act and live in brotherly love. And he goes in, he says, you know, quit doing bad deeds. He says, rather, do good deeds. Work with your hands. And if you've got a skill and you're not working, go find somebody to do it. Find an old lady or an old couple or whatever and go hammer a nail. Do something to do and to see what doors then God opens for you. If you're a writer and maybe you can help some kid at a school learn writing. If you're in a place where you're just wandering, whatever your gift is, figure out how to employ it. Because God will open doors for you then. He says, so don't be idle and don't be gossipy and tearing down people. In fact, he goes on, he says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth except that word which is good for edification, which is a word for building. And we talked about this idea of, you know, the guy's walking down the street and there's a bricklayer and he says, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And he looks up And he says, I'm laying these stupid bricks. He goes, oh, very unenthusiastic. Walks down the block and he sees another guy doing the same thing. He says, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And he looks up and he says, I am building the Sistine Chapel. And every word that you speak to those in your world, you can either build them up or you can tear them down. Okay? You can build them up. You can be a building block with everything that you say to encourage them to find their gifts, to do good, to be close to God. And then we talked about relationships, and I tiptoed through the man and wife one. Do you remember that one? Were any of you here? And the idea that basically you love one another. You submit to each other. If you're the man, you love your wife like Christ loved the church and you lay your life down for her. That's as simple as it gets. And then we talked about loving, you know, parents, and then the idea of servants, which is really kind of an employment sort of a thing. And I think that hit a few people that if you don't like your job, get another job. But if you're going to work for somebody, do your best. Give them 100%. And if you can't give them 100%, go look for another job. But ultimately, be an example of Jesus being of service and watch the doors open. Don't complain. And then he goes into this very quick thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit and not being drunk with wine. Now, I wasn't drunk with wine last night, but I did have a glass and a touch. And I had a great time. But it's about moderation. And the idea is that you yield and you put yourself under the control of a different agent, whether it be wine on this illustrious example, or you yield yourself to this life-giving Spirit. So now he comes to the end of this dissertation, and he says, finally, this is the last thing I'm going to say to you guys. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Up, oh, it's the devil. It says it here. I'm going to cover that in a bit. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then he says, you know, pray for me that on my behalf, that my utterance, or that utterance may be given to me, so that in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for whom I am an ambassador in chains, because Paul was thrown in prison several times for proclaiming this, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, that doesn't mean yelling. I'm kind of elevating my voice because my hoarseness is happening, and I get a little excited too. So here's the thing. When you interpret the Bible, or when you study the Bible, and I've said this before, the first thing you have to do is observe the text. You need to understand when it was written, the conditions of the time, some of the metaphors that they're using. You don't see a lot of guys running around with armor these days. Okay, so this was an example that was a couple of thousand years old. So when we understand that it was in the Roman Empire and a Roman soldier would wear that which was described, and he uses it as a metaphor of protection. And he says that it's the schemes of the devil. Now, some just say it's negativity. Well, there's a lot of views, and I love this church because we have a lot of different views. But we get to all say our truth, right? And I actually think that there is evil in the world. You know, I did a documentary, and it was about Iraq, and I looked deeply into the world of Saddam Hussein, interviewed some of his generals. and some of the things were evil. Okay, that's just the way my take on it is. But the reality is, evil is negative. So whether it's negative or it's evil, whatever it is, it's a word that connotates something that's on the dark side rather than on the light side. And he basically says, everything in this armor of God is a repeat of that first chapter. And so what he's saying is, don't listen to the noise around you that's going to tear you down. Don't listen to the people that say, you're not enough. You're stupid. You're not cool enough. You're not this. You're not that. You know, that whole bunch of noise that goes around. And he puts it in these, and he puts it in evil terms. The people that want to tear you down, and they may just be ignorant. You, like Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But the reality is, we have to be strong enough to discern and to be very on our guard with our armor in place, is that God chose us, that we are righteous. We are in good standing because of what Jesus did for us and the pathway that he, kind of the bridge, I call the death, the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus like a bridgeway to the other side. And so that's the kind of a modern metaphor that I would use. And he's saying, don't believe people that want to tear you down. Know that God has a plan for you. You have all the blessings. And it's kind of like the illustration that I shared many, 6 months ago. And the guy gets up to heaven, and Peter looks, yeah, okay, come on in. And as the story goes, he's walking down the streets of heaven, and they're all paved with gold and all that metaphoric stuff. And he sees this warehouse over there. He says, what's that? And Peter says, I don't want to go there. No, what is it? Okay, it's kind of like a Costco. You walk in and there's all these shelves of stuff, both material stuff and non-material stuff, right? And there's these boxes and it says Joe and Sally and Susie and all these people with all this, their names are on it. And he said, what's this about? He says, well, those are all the things that God had for you, but you didn't ask him. You were listening to the noise of all the people that said you couldn't have it. And then there were other boxes where and then he says, well, I asked for this, 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 and this. He says, well, you know what? They weren't in store for you. They weren't good for you. There's things that you're not going to get if you don't ask for them. And I know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and I've asked God for certain things, and they haven't been forthcoming, and it's there's one of two reasons. It's either because they're just not good for me, period, or that I'm not ready because there's something in me that needs to transform to open up the gateway for me to receive them. Okay? It's important. And so when Paul starts... So when Paul ends up this book... this letter, this thesis of kind of how do you live this life, he says, man, put on the armor. Guard yourself. When somebody starts talking trash to you, just listen to them. Is that right? You talking to me? You get what I'm saying? And just tune them out. If they've got something constructive to say, certainly. And I don't want people to live in a bunch of denial and being stupid. But be very careful what you accept, because it's a scheme, because there's so many people who are trying to put other people down so they can somehow feel better about themselves. You know, God bless them. And if somebody, does that, hey, yeah, God bless you, you're the bomb, you're the best, whatever. But what are you talking to me for? Because I'm the bomb too. I got it going on because God loves me and I have this relationship with the living God and with Jesus the Christ, who came to show me how to live. And he gave me this thing called the Holy Spirit that's very deep and very real. Now, there's a verse in Corinthians, and then one more thought and I'll close for the night. Paul says to the church of Corinth in about the same period, he says, look, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is the goal, and this is where it all comes down to. You are, Jesus said, a man, as a man thinketh, so is he. As you think, that's exactly how you're going to be. You think you're a loser? Guess what? You just defined yourself. I'm a loser. But if you think you're a conqueror, and if you think that there's something in tomorrow, and there's a big world out there, and I'm going to go out and find it, and I'm going to get myself one step in front of the other, and I'm going to knock on doors and see what's out there, and be in that place where, God, pray, open doors for me. But get out there, knock on doors. Be out in the world. Be alive. And he says, take every thought captive. Capture it. And if somebody's talking to you in a way that doesn't build you up, go the other way. You know? And if you're constantly in a job where they're beating you up, well, pray that God would open up another job for you. Or put on this thick face. There's a book I want to recommend to everybody. It's called Thick Face, Black Heart by Chen Chu, a Chinese woman. And it's the idea that you put on a mask that deflects the criticisms and the arrows of others. And literally, it's like an arrow would hit you, boom, goes off to the side. The Roman soldier had this kind of spike deal on his helmet. And when an opposing warrior would come down with a sword, it would hit this spike and then it would slide off to the side. And so it's the idea that when you get a thought like a dart or an arrow that's going to wound you, just, you know, put it down. Let it right off to the side. Have a thick face so that you can deflect the criticisms of others. And so I want to finish with and recommend yet another. It's a book. It's actually a PDF. And if you want it, I'd be happy to send it to you. I'm on the church's Facebook website, or ask me and I'll get your email. It's called The Shift. And it's written by a guy named, I think, Jim Self. And he talks about the idea that we live in three dimensions. The third dimension, the fourth dimension, and the fifth dimension. And he says that really we have the ability in this fourth dimension to choose to either go down to the third dimension or to go up to the fifth dimension. And this is how he defines the third dimension. He says the third dimension is where time is, where the past is, where all the noise of the world is. You're thinking about the past and you're thinking about the future, and it robs you of the present moment. It robs you because you worry, and it puts you in that thing, that place of noise. And you've got a noise over here and a noise over there. When I was a kid and we were playing baseball, you know, and the little leaguers, and the pitcher's winding up, and all the infielders going, hey, better, 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 swing, swing. And, you know, you're supposed to distract the hitter. And that's exactly what I think he's saying, is that we get into this place of this noise and we're listening to all of these distractions. He says you can live there, but that's going to really probably stunt your growth, limit your living life and being in the present, because you're going to be all chatterbox in your brain. He says, or you can go to the fifth dimension where you can be in that still place. And the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Be in that place where it's quiet, where you block out everything, and you're just literally sitting and listening and pondering the magnificence of God, and pondering that God chose you and that he loves you, and a place where you can create, a place where you can go, you know, God, I'd really like to do this. Or I'm thinking about this, but it's just you and your creator. It's where you co-create your future. It's where you co-create your reality. But it's quiet, and nobody's yelling at you. There's no noise saying you can't do it, or you got to do it this way or that way. It's quiet, so be still. And that's one of the reasons why I really like yoga. It's a place where you just get quiet and you kind of tune things out, or maybe you put on some music that just kind of calms you. But I want to encourage you to get into that very, very quiet place, that fifth dimension. Paul calls it the heavenly places, and get there and spend time with your Lord. Spend time surrendering, confessing. And, you know, it's that time when you go up there and you go, you know, God, I've kind of been having a problem with this area. I've been hiding it from you, but I'm having a difficulty, and I offer it up to you. Make yourself a living sacrifice. And you get into that still, quiet place, and just try it and see what happens. But get into that place where there's no noise. Get rid of the noise. Guard yourself against the schemes of the adversary that wants to pull you down so you can be all that God created you to be. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dan. That was really good. Thank you for your thoughts. All right.